James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
And now, here is Guy James. Yes, the irrepressible Guy James. Hey, welcome to the show this afternoon. Good to have all of you along with us this afternoon. We're going to try and have a upbeat program for you today. I hope there's some upbeat things going on. Not a whole lot anyway. We're gonna talk about the news and views and all that's happening, and we're coming to you from the beautiful blue waters and sandy beaches of beautiful Southwest Florida, Naples, Fort Myers area. And we do hope you're having a nice day. I certainly am so far. It's one of those days where I've enjoyed being in the studio, getting a lot of reading done today that I've been a little lax on getting done. So that's always a good thing. Never can read too much, can you? No. A lot going on. I see the governor of South Carolina, the hiker. They have found nothing out of the way with his money reconciliation on his trips to Argentina. So at least he wasn't hiking on the public's dime, so to speak. He was on the public's time, I guess. How does that work when you're a governor? Do you have a certain 40 hours that you have to put in and be over and above that? Why you get over to? I don't know how that works exactly, but when is it your time and when is it the public's time? And how would they ever say anything about you doing anything on at any time? You could always say, "Hey, I worked." Well, never mind. I don't know where I was going with that. Yes, you are listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. We do have quite a bit to talk about today. I did want to get that out of the way, talking about Governor Sanford and the money. I assume it's all going to work out now. Everything will be fine. We do have a few minutes of Republican love coming up a little later on today. I've saved up things from the past couple of days and decided there are a few little notes good enough to decent enough to read to you. Sometimes the correspondence we get is a bit naughty, a bit indecent, or a bit just downright thuggish and, you know, impolite. But if someone writes and they have a sense of humor, or at least it looks to me like they have a sense of humor, lots of times they misspell words and all that, and make them either they've done it in great haste and. And I do that now and then. Do you ever misspell something and send it out? I have. I don't use spell checker. And let me tell you why. I don't use spell checker because it keeps my brain more active if I have to think about a word here and there. I don't know. It just helps keep my brain a little more in shape, I think, rather than depend on the spell checker. So if you ever get any correspondence from me and there are misspelled words in it, and there's apt to be, why, keep in mind, you know, I'm just an old radio guy who, well, I did get good grades in spelling, as I recall, if I can remember that far back. It has, my, it's been a long time since I got a grade in spelling. When did you stop having spelling in school? Was it about the fourth grade or so? I can't remember. I went to school so long ago we didn't even have kindergarten. You were thrown right into the first grade. Oh, yeah. Started to school when I was five. Did any of the rest of you go to the first grade when you were five? I was the youngest kid in my class. Everybody was older than me. I didn't mature till a year after I got out of school. Most folks say I didn't mature even then. Ah, yes. Well, it's good to stay young. Where was I? Thank you for joining us today. I did want to make a mention, and I hope you will all take me seriously. I want everybody to know, well, yes, Betsy, it's because I'm from cow country. I thought I'd try to get away from that. She's the Texas Betsy's giving it to me on the chat room. I'm That was a feeble excuse, wasn't it? Pointing out a misspelled word on my site. Yeah, see, I meant to do that because we raised cattle, you see. You're not buying that, are you? No. All right. I did want to mention that Ben Birch is having a fund drive right now at the White Rose Society. And a dollar out of every five is going to the Head On Radio Network. And as you know, we here at Head On Radio Network are not blessed with great funds. And it is a rather serious matter, so I hope that you'll remember that and go over and help out Ben a little bit and Head On Radio Network and the Guy James Show as well. If you can, that would be something that would be greatly appreciated. Hi-ho, we got Al Franken, finally. We heard about that a couple of days ago, that now he's going to be officially sworn in. And I have to admit, I had ambivalent feelings about Al Franken, when he first announced almost 3 years ago that he was running for the seat that was occupied, and you must remember this, that seat was occupied by a dear, dear friend of his. He was very close with Paul Wellstone. And Paul Wellstone, you know, a lot of people laughed over that. And I must admit, I think I did as well. And that's okay. Al originally made his name, 34, 35 years ago as a comedian. And laughter's a tool of his trade. And doesn't it just make you absolutely giddy to know that it's he who's having the last laugh here? Because when you stop and think about it, and you look around at all the politicians you've seen in your lifetime that have had some sort of a public persona and gone before the TV cameras or radio microphones, the halls of Congress have been littered with unintentional comedians, and I can think a lot of them who've made some real funnies that didn't mean to. And at long last, we've got a professional in Washington, and not just a comedian, but he's a humorist. And he's the, you know, a Mark Twain type of humorist, and there's a decided difference. And remember this, and do remember this, when Senator Franken, that sounds good, Senator Franken, when he makes you laugh, that will be his intent, and he's good at it. And Franken's victory, finally, after being elected, 8 months ago, can only really be described as some sort of poetic justice, because the very image of Norm Coleman just makes me want to puke. And I have never, knowing the story, I've never been able to forgive Norm Coleman for the utterly despicable campaign that he was running against Senator Wellstone in 2002. And I guess my point here is that Paul Wellstone was one of us. Paul Wellstone was a real Democrat. Unlike so many that are so cowardly these days, he never forgot that he was the political descendant of Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt, and he was absolutely unapologetic about it. He was a, like myself, a card-carrying liberal, and he was never embarrassed to say it out loud. And he truly was a man of the people. God rest his soul. And if you remember that campaign, Coleman against Wellstone, in the final days of that contest, in a fit of absolute desperation, Norm Coleman ran a series of ads which implied that if Wellstone was reelected, that he was going to tax the family farms all over the state of Minnesota out of existence via this so-called Republican, the way the Republican call it, the death tax. And like almost all of Coleman's campaign, it was a flat-out lie. And if you would look this up, not a single family farm throughout the entire United States has ever really been affected by the estate tax. I'm talking family farms. The only farms that have ever been taxed after the demise of an owner were the huge corporate mega farms, the institutions that were actually, truth be known, were putting the family farms out of business all over the country. these are the very institutions, if you want to call them that, which, by the way, overwhelmingly donated to the Coleman campaign all over the state and to Republicans all over the country. And on the morning, and I don't have a hard time remembering this because it was on my birthday, October 25th, 2002, while Paul Wellstone was trying to keep up with all this last-minute crap that Coleman was throwing at him and has scheduled a lot of appearances around Minnesota that he thought were necessary because of the lies that Coleman was spreading, making a lot of trips that shouldn't have been necessary except to quell these lies that Coleman was putting out. I know you all remember Senator Wellstone, along with seven other people, were killed in a plane crash, along with his wife and his daughter. And it just was, I don't know. But I do believe that Al Franken is the type of person that the Founding Fathers probably had in mind as the ideal public servant when they initiated this great experiment in democratic self-government. Was it 233 years ago this Saturday? It's coming up, the anniversary, coming up on the 4th. Got someone on the line. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy, it's Kevin from Brooklyn.
Hi, Kevin.
How you doing?
Okay.
Do
you know there are more people in Brooklyn than the entire state of Montana?
Oh, yeah. Well, there are more people in Brooklyn than a lot of states.
I just wanted to point that out due to the representation that a senator, Max Baucus, now on this health care issue. Max Baucus only represents around, I don't know, close to 900,000 people, and there's like 1.4 million just in Brooklyn alone. So in New York, you're underrepresented.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. But, you know, this is what the right-wing Republican does. They hide behind small businesses and family farms to get their way. And they so brainwash a lot of small business owners and family farms.
Oh, they do. They do. I know a lot of people. I was born on a family farm.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, I know some people out in Jersey who are small, and they're staunch Republicans, and they're small business owners, and I have to tell them, look, the Republican Party doesn't care about you.
They use you.
They'll use you, but they won't care about you at all.
No. But it works, doesn't it? I mean, over and over and over again, they've used the evangelicals.
Yeah.
They've used.
Well, you see, the thing is, much of this country's problem is stuck in lower middle management, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who believe because they can buy a bigger house and a nicer car, they think they rule.
Moving on up.
And you know, they think they rule the planet. And it's just a case of, excuse me, if anybody signs off on your paycheck, you're working class.
That's right.
Regardless of whatever, you could be a millionaire. Okay, if somebody else is signing that check, you are working class.
Isn't it fascinating how a political party has, over the years, just taken large groups of people, like the working class in many cases, the family farms you're talking about, and others, middle management, have them calling themselves Republicans because they're shooting for that pie in the sky, that Wall Street money that everybody's always talking about. They think they're going to get their share of it. Never quite works out.
The thing is, the real Wall Street money wasn't affected by our current economic state because that money went overseas.
That's right. That is right. I think a lot of people, if they knew the truth right now about the upper echelon in Wall Street and how their actual earning power and income has been affected, they'd be appalled. Because, well, as you know, there are big raises being passed out as we speak right now.
Yeah, and this is why, you know, you need to start thinking like a wealthy person, too. You know, that's the one thing rich people can't stand, when non-wealthy people think like them. Or people. Okay? Because I say this. I will not serve in this nation's army, military, and fight for this country until I see a Bush child, you know, who will risk life and limb, or a Cheney child risk life and limb.
Well, then you're not going to have to worry.
Yeah. Okay.
Simply not going
to
happen.
Because the last member of the Bush crime family to actually risk life and limb for this country, when was it, the Civil War?
No, Bush did.
Because Poppy Bush. No, Poppy Bush, that was a bunch of BS, they said. That was kind of designed to, for him to save face when they found out he was dealing with the Nazis.
Oh, you mean that back then? Yeah, okay, I got you.
Yeah.
I understand where you're
coming from. Okay, because he was known as Bailout Bush.
you know who you're talking about. Junior was good at wrecking planes in the National Guard. Junior, I think,
went through... Yeah, protecting us from Oklahoma and Mexico, right?
Yeah, I think he went through four or five planes, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, when you're high on cocaine, you're going to go through four or five planes.
Well, you know. Yeah, but I think you're safe. I think you are safe.
Okay. And the thing is, you know, and this is going to be a smack in the face to Norm Coleman. I said, you know, part of the reason, I don't know if you know, but my family is from the Caribbean. My family's Jamaican.
Yeah.
I've mentioned that. Yeah. I'm getting my Jamaican citizenship, you know, kind of like what Israelis do if you have a, you know, an ancestor from the island,
mm-hmm.
you can claim citizenship. And one of the reasons why I'm doing it is, God forbid, if I ever become really sick, I can get hop on a plane, pay like $40-$50, and hop on a plane to Cuba.
Well, yeah, that's true. That is true.
And you know, they talk about how socialized medicine and all that doesn't work and all this stuff. You know what? If you ever been to Cuba, the amount of wealthy Americans that are there getting treated.
Well, I know this. I found out recently that I can legally go, and I as soon as I can find a
way. Directly from Florida?
Yes. I can go as a journalist. I can actually get legal papers from America to go to Cuba, and I would love to do it. As soon as I can find the means to do it, a way to do it, I will go. Always wanted to. It's tempting being that close, you know. I have been to Jamaica.
Oh, yeah.
But I think I was at the wrong place in Jamaica. Have you ever been to Ocho Rio?
Oh, yeah, that is the wrong thing. Well, my family farm is not too far from Ocho Rio.
Really? Well, I docked there on a cruise ship one time, and I got off and...
And that's the worst thing you can do.
Well, yeah. it was not the... the actual Ocho Rio town was not a place you'd want to see in Jamaica. It's not what you see in the travel brochures, let me tell you.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, cruise ships have a way of taking you to the places that will force you to spend money.
Oh, yeah. They got off and got on a taxi cab, and they took us straight to a place called the Taj Mahal.
And yeah.
That's where they sold all kinds of diamond jewelry. They took you straight there.
Exactly. And that's what they're paid to do, you know,
sure.
Literally.
Yeah. If I ever go on a cruise ship again, I don't think I'll get off the boat.
Anyway. Well, you see, the thing is, going on a cruise ship, what's so cool about that, because they're basically designed for people who want to shop. Okay, what's so cool about going on a cruise ship, though, is you get to cover a lot of ground very cheaply.
Yeah.
You know, but if you really want to know the country and culture and all that, don't ever go on a cruise ship.
Now, I would not. I have learned that. I've just been on a few cruises. And, to stay on the boat, I'm not a shopper anyway. Made a mistake one time to go into Cozumel, Mexico.
Because one time I went on a cruise, and it was to St. Thomas.
Uh-huh.
And let me tell you something. You ever been to St. Thomas?
No, I have not.
St. Thomas is basically, how would I say it, Florida with nice housing projects.
I see.
You ever been to Miami where they have the housing projects?
Of course.
Yeah, that's where, like, that's what St. Thomas works. And they have this little strip, you know, in St. Thomas where there's nothing but jewelry, you know, duty-free jewelry, duty-free liquor and all that. And that's where they head you to. There's nothing on St. Thomas.
Yeah,
nothing.
The ships, they all get a cut of that.
They
contract with these people to take you there. And, I don't know. If I do it again, I just won't get off the boat. Even the Caymans, I didn't enjoy the Caymans even that much. It's just a place to go hide money. Nothing special about it. If I want to see palm trees, I can look out the window of the studio here, you know.
Yeah, but my thing is, you go to the Caribbean for the culture.
Yeah.
Well, my sense of going is going back home, really, my real home.
Sure.
You know?
Well, see,
okay.
As far as the culture is concerned, we have the culture here now, too.
You and I would have to get into a more...
Cuba, we've got lots of Haitians, Cubans, Dominican Republic.
Well,
we've got Jamaica. We've got everybody.
But it's not like being there.
I suppose. But I can take
it's
you.
It's not like, there's nothing.
I can take
there's
you
nothing like having your own country, guy.
Oh, I'm sure. But I could probably take you in a few places in Miami that you would think you were in your home country.
I've been there, and trust me, it's not the same. Because when you have to deal with second-class citizenship, to me, and I know what it is. I know the difference.
Sure. Hey, it's good to hear from you, as always, my friend. Tell everybody in Brooklyn we
say
hi.
I most definitely will.
Talk to you soon.
Most definitely. Bye. Okay, Bobby.
Eric in Brooklyn, yes. 866-546-5254. If you'd like to call us, 866-546-5254. Had to hit the old cough button there. I was talking about Al Franken, and did want to mention, now you know, with the two independents that we have, with Sanders and, dare I say the name, Lieberman, Bernie was on TV last night. I watched Bernie Sanders talk about health care last night on TV. You know, I wish somehow that there were like a dozen more senators like him. Just a dozen. I mean, I'd love for all of them to be like him, but maybe five more like him. A guy that actually goes and cast a vote on the floor of the United States Senate for what's right every time, for what he believes is right. And you may think I have an inflated view of Bernie Sanders. I don't think so. I think he's absolutely honest. And I'm not going to say he's without fault because he's not. But I believe when Bernie Sanders casts a vote, he is casting a vote for the greater good of the people of that he represents. I don't think there's any question about that ever. I don't think you would find Bernie Sanders casting a vote because someone was hanging money over his head. I don't think so. And I just wish to God we had more people in the United States Senate like Bernie Sanders. And so we've got the other independent, Joe Lieberman, who is political trash as far as I'm concerned. Him and Arlen Specter, two of a kind, in my opinion. I'd rather not have either of them in the party, but they are. Well, actually, Lieberman isn't, but, you know, he's a hangers-on now. He thinks he's a Democrat or got people thinking that he is. I'm not sure what he's trying to. But here we have supposedly the 60. We have the 58. And, of course, we don't have enough votes every day on every issue because Ted Kennedy and Robert Byrd aren't voting on every issue, and I assume that maybe they can when something really important comes up. And I'm not so sure how long we ought to let that go along. And I'm sure both of them, at least one of them, will decide that there comes a time when it can no longer be effective as a United States senator and it's time to turn it over to somebody else. And I hope that's the case if it becomes absolutely necessary and not until. But supposedly we have these 60 votes, and they've been using the excuse all along. Well, we don't have the 60, you know, we can't override Republican filibuster. Well, now we can. And I wholeheartedly agree with what Bernie Sanders said last night. If you are a Democrat, if you caucus with the Democrats, bust the filibuster. And then vote however you will. We may have differences on this, and I thought Bernie explained it very well. I he may disagree with a Mary Landrieu or Blanche Lincoln or whoever may disagree with them, and they may want to vote against a public health care option, and that's their choice. But if you caucus with the Democrats, you owe it to the party, you owe it to your fellow senators to bust a filibuster by the Republicans. And then vote however you want to, but at least bring it to a vote. That's all we ask. And I don't think that's too much to ask of anyone that's caucuses with the Democrats. Anyone who refuses to do that, who refuses to let a public health care bill come before a full vote, an up or down vote, anybody that refuses to do that should be absolutely ostracized by the Democrats in their home state and on a national basis as well. The campaign committee to reelect senators should forget them. Now, if they want to go and vote after the cloture's done, fine. I'll respect that. I won't like it, but I'll respect it. But if the Republicans threaten a filibuster and you don't help bust it, you're no friend of mine. But Harry Reid's been using this and his weakness. I do not, and I've tried to get Democratic politicians to help me on this, and I don't ever get any satisfaction. I don't get no satisfaction. I don't know what the story is. I mean, I know the story, but I don't understand it, about Harry Reid. Harry Reid has been about as ineffective as a majority leader could ever be. I doubt there's ever been a more ineffective, namby-pamby, milquetoast Democratic majority leader, Senate majority leader, than Harry Reid. He has backed down almost every time from Republicans who, in many cases in the minority, have cleaned his clock. For the life of me, I do not understand why that man is the majority leader. I mean, I know he's paid his dues, blah, 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 blah. And I know that not every senator wants to be the majority leader. And so maybe some of the better ones that were far more qualified, eminently more qualified than Harry Reid, didn't want the job. But I do not understand how we've got such an ineffective leader. So some of you will disagree with me on that. Maybe some of you agree that you think that Harry Reid's just a fine leader. I haven't talked to anybody that thinks he is. I've talked to people in Washington who said, well, you know, you don't completely understand. You don't completely understand that, what Harry Reid's up to. He's a wily old fox and, you know, he likes to deal with people and do the backroom deal. I haven't seen any evidence of it. Have you? I haven't seen any big deals Harry Reid's pushed the vote through and got it done under big odds. No. Haven't seen any of that at all. Republicans, they didn't use that as an excuse. They didn't use that at all. They did what they damn well pleased, and they didn't give a damn what the Democrats thought. They didn't care. And Harry Reid ought to forget this stuff, and I believe our president ought to forget this stuff. He tried. He stuck out his hand, and he got it bitten by the Republicans. So live and learn, Mr. President, and live and learn, Harry Reid. You can't deal with these people. You may want to show the United States public that you've tried and tried and tried to be bipartisan. But how many times do you get bitten before you finally say, okay, enough, I leave this animal alone and I go ahead and go my merry way and do what it is that needs to be done, and to hell with them? That is what has to be done. I heard Marcos from the Daily Coast and Bill Press and Ed Schultz talking about this on MSNBC, and I received this email later in the evening. It says about those three. It says these three scumbags are the pillars of hate and lies of the left. The Coast dude is a rich, spoiled hater full of lies, and the other two should be in prison for treason along with him. They work for Satan, the evil one, Lucifer. They laugh at aborted babies. They throw sexist hate at Palin. They're the hypocrites supreme. The hate and lies are smeared all over them. They have ugly hearts, and they're trying to pull everyone else down to hell with them. Don't listen to them. Boycott MSNBC. They are traitors. They celebrate hate. They are soulless, godless, atheist, anti-American racist. Turn away from them and their kind, or lose your soul. These are the kind of people that people from the left try to reason with. And when you read something like that, you know there's no reasoning, and you give it up. And you start to look foolish by trying to be reasonable with people like that. And there is so much hate on the right, so much awful hate on the right. I don't think anybody personifies that hate any more than the Westboro Baptist Church. And I know it's an extreme example, but it's what I'm talking about some of these evangelicals and how they preach the love of the Lord and hate everything and everyone else. And I ran across an interview with, I think it's Phelps's wife, and then the Phelps choir singing a song. And if you want to hear what the real hate's about from these evangelicals, here's a perfect example of it. It's a bit lengthy, but I think it's entertaining and well worth listening to. This is a Phelps protester protesting outside of Arlington National Cemetery.
Well, the U.S. Supreme Court yesterday refused to consider Missouri's appeal of a court order banning the state from enforcing a law restricting protests near funerals. State lawmakers in 2006 enacted two new laws creating buffer zones between demonstrators and funerals and processions. The legislation targets a Topeka, Kansas church whose members have picketed outside the funerals of people killed during the Iraq War, stating that they believe soldiers are dying as divine punishment because the United States harbors homosexuals. Months after the laws took effect, Westboro Baptist Church member Shirley Phelps Roper filed a lawsuit seeking to have the protest bans tossed out over free speech concerns. A federal appeals court here in St. Louis ruled that Missouri cannot enforce the protest ban until the lawsuit is resolved. The U.S. Supreme Court yesterday denied, without comment, Missouri's appeal. Okay, well, let's talk to this woman herself. As a matter of fact, Shirley Phelps Roper, as I understand it, is now protesting at the funeral in Arlington National Cemetery of Major General David Worley, whose career put him in far more dangerous situations than an evening commute aboard public transit. He did die on that Amtrak crash last week. Wearley, a command pilot who logged more than 5,000 hours in military aircraft, gave the order to scramble planes over Washington on September 11, 2001. Shirley Phelps Roper, good morning and welcome to KMOX. Are you with us, ma'am? It looks like we've lost our connection to her. Let's just double-check all the toggles. Hello, ma'am? All right, she's actually walking as part of the funeral, so I bet you she left that cell. We'll try and find another one, folks. But, I think without the ability to read minds, I know what you're thinking right now. Here's a guy, Major General David Wearley, who logged more than 5,000 hours in military aircraft. He died in that Amtrak accident last week, and his funeral is today. And this Westboro Baptist Church member, Shirley Phelps Roper, is standing outside the funeral with signs, et cetera. Is she with us right now, Peggy? All right. Hello, Ms. Roper. Welcome to KMOX in St. Louis.
Hi, and thanks for calling.
Now, you had somewhat of a victory yesterday at the U.S. Supreme Court, did you not?
Yes. That's because this is a nation of supposed to be of laws, and the law of this land is that this government can't make any laws that interfere with our religious exercise. Even when you get to the hour, when the nation has degraded to the hour that they hate God and his standards, and they're going to try to punish anyone who would serve God in truth and remind you that he holds the blessings and the curses. And right now, it's all curses all the time. America's doomed.
And are you protesting right now in Arlington, Virginia?
Yeah, I'm standing right outside the Arlington Cemetery at our spot, where we stand, where they're going to bury this major general that was in charge of all things about worshiping the dead in Washington, D.C., and God, who holds the breath of life in his hands, used that metro wreck to dispatch him and his wife straight to hell. This is the trumpet sounding in this nation, and our duty and your duty is to remind them that if they would just obey their God, he would take his smiting rod off their back.
And in your opinion, what is this nation doing wrong?
Oh, my God. When you teach your children that God is a big, fat liar, he says homosexuality is an abomination, and you say, oh, that's a lie. It's, in fact, okay to be gay. He says, thou shalt not commit adultery, no fornication, and for God's sake, thou shalt not kill. But no, you teach your children, that's a lie. You can change your sex partners and your spouses more often than you change your nasty undergarments. Christ said divorce plus remarriage is adultery. This nation has a policy of adultery. And then you teach them, if you produce a baby in the middle of all your filthy deeds, you feel free to kill it. This nation's streets are dripping with the blood of your babies. Millions have been murdered on the altar of your filthy manner of life.
But let me ask you just a little something about the place where you're protesting, because, of course, the family of Major General David Wearley is, of course, suffering right now. They're grieving perhaps the worst day of their life. Aren't you making it worse with your
What
protest?
We're doing is offering them the only hope for peace. They're still alive. Don't you understand? He and his wife, who taught their children rebellion against God, are in hell. Now, if they will heed this warning, they can avoid hell. Because you know what? Hell goes on forever. You've been there 100 years, you say eternity minus 100 equals eternity. How stupid is this?
Were you supported in your lawsuit with the American Civil Liberties Union of Eastern Missouri?
The ACLU is the one who handled that, is handling that litigation.
You're right.
Doesn't that speak volumes for this nation?
So you're a big fan of the American Civil Liberties Union?
I'm a big fan of obedience to God, and I'm a big fan of not turning aside to the left hand or to the right. If you think that we're going to waste our time begging some rebel to do their duty, how embarrassed are you that we have to go anywhere to get anyone to make you obey your own stinking laws? God requires not only that you obey his law, but he says part of obeying my law is obeying the law of the land. So how wrong is it
that we
must look to the ACLU to get any help at this hour?
This is Shirley.
Sad for you.
This is Shirley Phelps Roper, who is currently protesting in Arlington, Virginia, at the funeral of retired Major General David Wearley. And we have a quick phone call here. It's Peggy. Good morning, Peggy.
Good morning. Shirley, you need to protest at the White House and the Capitol, not at a soldier's funeral. You know, you
okay.
Woman.
This woman. Pardon me.
I said we do it all. 19 years. We have been every single day on the streets of this nation. Yesterday, we're in Washington, D.C. We had 5 pickets in Washington, D.C. yesterday. Today, we're going to head, as soon as we get done here, over to Baltimore. We'll have 5 more pickets there after this one.
Yeah, the Supreme Court basically said you've got a right to free speech. They didn't agree with your speech, but they said that essentially you will be allowed to protest in Missouri at the funerals of soldiers, correct?
Yeah, we wouldn't have filed that lawsuit, except because the law, we would have obeyed the law, but your brutish law enforcement agencies pretended that they could revamp the law to say this to us. If you come into the borders of our city with those signs on the day of this protest, we'll put you in jail. And not only that, but we'll have our Child Protective Services officers standing by, because this nation knows
yeah.
we don't serve God without our children. So if they hadn't have done that, we wouldn't have filed the lawsuit.
Let me get one more quick phone call in here, and then we have traffic and weather together, and we'll let you get on with your day. Hello, good morning to you. Jim, you're on KMOX.
Yeah, Charlie, how are you today?
I'm doing okay.
Are you sure?
Well, I'll check my temperature in a moment.
There you go. I just like to say I'm a veteran, and I have fought for this lady to speak her mind and to have her say. However, I think it's just horrible that they would protest against military figures who have fought for their right to speak the way that they want to, and then they get treated like this. I think it's just terrible.
Okay, Shirley?
I think it's horrible that they brought destruction. Do you understand this nation is doomed? Shortly, you're going to see those military mutts at the front of the pack as you all run for the hills, calling on the mountains to fall on you to hide you from the wrath of man. Revelation 18 only has 2 events in it. You're in the midst of the first one, the fall of this nation. You're in the midst of it. Read the words. There's only one thing left, one major event for this nation, your final, full, complete destruction. It's desolation. The land is going to vomit out the inhabitants. And you're worrying about where we stand with some picket signs?
Ms. Feltroper, can I ask you, have you had a psychological examination in recent years?
Have you cracked the Bible? Read Leviticus 18, where the promise from God is that if you engage in adultery, sodomy, incest, and bestiality, and teach your children that God is a liar, that he will have the land vomit you out. And you know this land is preparing herself. You got Yellowstone up there just prepared. Think projectile rebels.
Hey, well, I'll put it this way. If you submit to a psychological exam in St. Louis, I'll read Leviticus aloud on KMOX Radio.
Not even a chance. Your duty is to do that anyway, and God is going to hold you to that standard.
All right. Thank you very much.
You better use it.
Wow. Wow. Is that not incredible to think that there are people like that, a whole bunch of them? I'm talking about a whole bunch of them that go around spouting this kind of stuff. And I thought as an additional bonus to this, they Fred Phelps and the Westboro Baptist Church has a choir. And they have, and I'm not kidding, here, and they have recorded a song, and I thought you would all love to hear it. I want you to, since we're talking about feel the love coming from the radicals today, I want you to feel the love coming from this song. I know you'll enjoy it. It brings a tear to my eye, most certainly. And here it is.
You cross the line. You won't heed this final call. Evil world, you've come together as one. Your soldiers dying.
Everybody join hands.
For you claim God's blessing you. That lie, the greatest lie of all.
You can't go on pretending day by day that the God of judgment is dead and gone.
You are all the devil's family, and the truth
lived out your vain lives, storing up God's wrath for all eternity.
Oh, the soprano section's a little weak. Come on, girls, come on.
Well, you knew God's law, but you disobeyed it all. Spent your lives chasing your lust and lies.
Sounds just like Barbra Streisand.
Serving all your idols, fag beast and bloody flags, fires of hell are waiting there for you.
That is so touching. It is so touching. I don't know. It affects me deeply when I hear that, and I can't tell you how overwhelmed I am with feeling when I heard that. It's so beautiful, and they're so sincere in their beliefs, and that's what I admire most about them. You can tell they hate everyone and everything. They hate equally. I don't think they leave anyone out. Yes. Oh, well, I've got to take a moment and regroup, I guess. It's just the beauty and significance of that wonderful tune and the interview with the lady really got to me. We do have coming up in the second hour a few minutes of Republican Love. We haven't done that for a while, but I thought since we were talking about hate today, that it might be a good thing to do. Let's head on over to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
That was bizarre, man. It's Kevin again.
Oh, well, you thought it was bizarre.
it gave me the hive.
But it's real, you see. And I'm not kidding.
Oh, I don't doubt it, because those who call Christ's name the most tend not to be Christ-like.
Right you are, but, you know, this is a very righteous group. They've been, you know, the Supreme Court refused to shut them down, I don't know how you can say that about a man.
And that woman sounds like a lesbian. I'm sorry. That woman is a lesbian. That woman is a lesbian. I'm telling you.
I would give a lot to hear you to have her on and have you say that. Man, I would give a lot.
I don't care. I'll say it.
But she wasn't fazed. I'll try and get her on next week. She wasn't fazed by the guy saying anything about the psychological exam. They didn't.
We will set up a phone conference call, Guy. I will tell her, you know, you need to come out. You need to come out. You're a lesbian. You need to come out of the closet.
I'm sure I could probably get them. They're in they're someplace in Kansas. I forget
you
what
need
city.
To come out the closet. Move to a real city. Come out the closet and enjoy your life.
You want to get killed, don't you? They'll hunt you down like a dog.
You could have come to Brooklyn?
You think just she's because you're in Brooklyn with all those people around that you're protected from them, but you're not, my friend. They will smite you. smite you, get the smiting off your back or whatever it is they said. it's incredible. It is incredible. I'll do my best. I forget what town they're from in Kansas, but it shouldn't be that hard to get a hold of them. I've got to mark that down.
Yeah.
Get a hold of
them. They probably don't go out of Kansas.
Yeah, oh, they do. They do. Oh, they go everywhere. Get a hold of Westboro. I'm making a note to myself. I think they like press, so I'll try and get her on next week. She's a great interview, I think.
Yeah, she needs to come out of the closet.
So what I'm saying here is just so, I mean, we're being very devious here, Kevin. So what you're saying is if I get her on the show next week and I'm going along and I'm having an interview and she's doing this, you will call in say, hey, and give her the story I think it would be great radio.
Oh yeah. I will definitely tell her. I'll definitely tell her.
It'd be a bit of an ambush, but we don't mind that on the show.
No. We need to out these people. We need to out these people. And I don't believe in outing people, but when you disrespect, you know, people for being simply what they are,
yeah,
you know, then you need to be outed. It's kind of like that fool. Ron Christie on MSNBC.
Ron Christie.
You know, the black conservative commentary.
Oh, yeah.
He used to work for Dick Cheney.
Yeah, that cross-eyed guy.
That's another one. A self-loathing black man and a homosexual.
Well,
you know, you get a two-for-one shot.
There's something odd about him. I don't know what it is. There's just something really odd about
self-loathing,
him.
He's a self-loathing black man and a homosexual.
Now,
two-for-one deal.
And yes, Johnny. Johnny's asking on the chat room: is this woman with this church? Yes, she is with this church. In fact, she's in that choir. So she did the interview and performed in the choir. And you know, if we have someday we take requests, why I'll play you another song from them.
We can play our greatest hits.
Yeah, the Mormon choir, they're not, but and they're not the, you know, the not as good as the Temple University choir, but you know, not bad. They could be a little stronger on harmonizing there, but I promise you, I will do my best to get one of them on the program next week.
I think you know, I've come to the conclusion, a lot of Christians who are very violently anti-gay or anti-whatever are usually the case themselves.
Yeah.
Either they have had a homosexual experience or closeted homosexuals.
You know, and if you don't mind, I want to take a moment and just a little bit of friendly chastisement, if that's a word, chastisement. I do want to chastise the people in the chat room right now, because they are really making fun of that woman and this choir, and they are, and it's terrible some of the things they're saying about it.
Oh, poor church lady.
The church lady. Oh, my God, yeah. Wasn't that a hoot? I miss her.
Yeah, the superiority.
Could it be Satan? Oh, I miss her.
Yeah.
Now they're playing dumb on the chat room. Who, us? We did not. Yes, you. I'm talking about you little angels in the chat room. You're just saying bad things about these people, and you know they were nice enough to get together and sing a tune like that, and then people make fun. I kind of bothers me a little. Well, Kevin, it's getting up toward the top of the hour. Thanks for calling. Good to hear from you, and we will publicize it well if we're going to have one of them on the show.
Oh, okay,
you'll be the first to know.
Okay, bro. Later. No problem.
What do you think? Should we do that? I vote yes. I say we do it. I say we get them on the show. And I don't think it'll be that difficult. There used to be... I tell you, the chat room is completely out of control today. Just, I've not seen them behave in this manner ever, I don't think. But anyway, getting back to the subject matter, I've made myself a note. I will, on Monday, or maybe tomorrow, try and make a call and set it up and try and get one of them on the program. I think it would be good. We could record it and use it for fodder for a long, long time. And as I mentioned, coming up in the second hour, we're going to have some of their compadres. I don't know if they actually know one another or not, but we've got some real good Republican love letters to read for you. And I'm sure you'll be, whatever you'll be, shocked, entertained, I don't know what. I'm seldom shocked anymore. Speaking of shocking, that Sure guy that was on Glenn Beck's show yesterday, I hear that a lot of people have reported that segment to folks at the FBI, and I hope the FBI does something about it. If you didn't hear that, I believe I still have it. We can play that for you a little later on in the program if you didn't hear it yesterday. But anyway, we're talking about hate today. We're talking about good old-fashioned neocon, Republican, right-wing, evangelical hate. We're talking about people that hate themselves, hate America, hate us, call us treasonous and traitors and all the things, seditionists and all the things that they did back when we said we didn't agree with the war. Well, turns out the war was even more of a lie than we ever thought. And we'll talk about that a bit in the second hour. So I hope you'll stay with us. We do have a good second hour planned today, and we were going to have a few minutes of Republican love coming up probably early on in the next hour, and I know you will enjoy it. Right now, I want to remind you, you're listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network, and we're going to be back right after the news.
To WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell. Now that the Obama administration has officially created a White House Council on Automotive Communities and Workers, some labor leaders would like to see a White House Committee for Manufacturing Renewal. Doug Cunningham has more.
United Steelworkers Vice President Tom Conway says the Obama administration needs to get serious about a national industrial policy to revive not just auto, but the entire U.S. manufacturing sector.
We think that this administration ought to strike itself a standing permanent committee right now about American manufacturing renewal and the value that's there and the long-term value it brings to communities.
Conway says economic and trade policies that let U.S. manufacturing wither and die are foolish and are devastating communities throughout the United States.
Manufacturing has just waned and been allowed to die in the U.S. And I mean, fundamentally believe that if you don't mine something and mill it and manufacture it and put some labor and capital against it and add value to it, you really can't have fundamentally a solidly based economy.
One category of workers that often isn't noted when talking about unemployment numbers is the underemployed. According to Heidi Scherholz of the Economic Policy Institute, in May, around 26 million workers were underemployed. During a press call on Tuesday, Scherholz explained what it means to be underemployed.
Underemployment is a term that includes not just the unemployed, but also the so-called marginally attached, which are people who want a job, they're available to work, but they have stopped actively seeking work, so they're no longer officially counted as unemployed. And then the underemployment rate also includes involuntary part-time workers, workers who want a full-time job but can't get the hours.
Scherholz said that because underemployment tracking numbers only go back to 1994, those numbers can't be compared to the recession in the 1980s.
But it has shot up dramatically in this recession.
Right up.
With Bell Helicopter's production staff still on strike for more than 15 days, the office workers have approved a contract agreement with the company. The white-collar workers are represented by United Auto Workers Local 317, and they voted overwhelmingly in favor of the new three-year contract. The manufacturing workers, represented by UAW Local 218, remain on the picket lines, but they returned to the table yesterday with a federal mediator. It is the first strike by the workers in more than 20 years. Part of the strike is to protect the jobs of 44 janitors, who the union is concerned will lose their jobs under new job descriptions in the contract proposal.
Workers Independent News puts workers and their unions on the national radio news airwaves every day. To help keep labor's voice on the air, go to laborradio.org.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are a bit exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Fact is, high blood pressure contributes to 200,000 American deaths each year. And a third of those who have high blood pressure don't know it. If they did, it'd be simple to treat. Call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA1 or visit AmericanHeart.org on the web to learn more. Better still, ask your doctor to check your blood pressure.
If you run without scissors,
it's the least you can do.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey, we're back. You stayed with us throughout the news. Thank you. Good to have all of you along with us today. We're talking about good old-fashioned hate. Yes. Hate. We're talking about hate today. Do you harbor any hatred? Do you have hatred in your heart for anyone?
Obviously, there's some people in the chat room today that don't feel too good about some people. Yes, we are talking about hate today, and we've got some good old-fashioned hate mail. I don't like to call it hate mail. I like to call it Republican love because they love me. I know they do. Down deep inside, they love me. Yeah. And so, that one yesterday by Michael Schur on, you know, the only thing that keep this country safe from a spectacular attack by Al-Qaeda would be a spectacular attack by Al-Qaeda. That's what the guy was saying. Unless Al-Qaeda comes in and attacks us, we're not going to be safe. That's what the long and the short of it. What it was, if you don't know what I was talking about, let me replay this from you. I think I still have this from yesterday. This Schur guy that appeared on the Glenn Beck, who's well, I think we can legitimately question Beck's sanity, can we not? It's not just a show. I think he's nuts, and he'd have to be. And I think he's a dirty SOB besides for having a guy on his show to say this. I mean, free speech and all that aside, this was too much for me. And just so you'll know what I was talking about here, this is the guest, this Schur guy that was on Beck's show yesterday that many people have reported to the FBI today.
So you have seen this. Do you really honestly believe that we have come to a place to where those very senior people in the highest offices of the land, Congress and the White House, really will not do the right thing in the end, that they won't see the error of their ways?
No, sir, they will not. Not the only chance we have as a country right now is for Osama bin Laden to deploy and detonate a major weapon in the United States, because it's going to take a grassroots, bottom-up pressure, because these politicians prize their office, prize the praise of the media and the Europeans. Only it's an absurd situation again. Only Osama can execute an attack which will force Americans to demand that their government protect them effectively, consistently, and with as much violence as necessary.
Which is
now, this was on national TV on Fox Network. Obviously condoned by the people at Fox. They didn't tag anything onto it saying, we don't agree with what this man said. We think it was horrible. No. We've heard none of that from Fox. We haven't heard that from Rupert Murdoch. We haven't heard it from Bill O'Reilly. We haven't heard it from Sean Hannity. We haven't heard it from Limbaugh, though he's not on Fox. None of these people have repudiated that remark. None of them. You know why? Because they all agree with it. They all agree with it. We've got to, according to them, we've got to tear this country down to keep it from being torn down. We've got to have it attacked to keep it from being attacked. That's what the man was saying. His argument really boils down to this. If we're not attacked again, that we're never going to do what we need to do to keep America safe from being attacked again. You can find that kind of logic in some institutions where there are a lot of white coats and padded cells. I don't know who would... George Orwell would have looked at that one and gone, what the hell? And you had Glenn Beck sitting there nodding as this is, you know, he, oh, yeah, So Osama bin Laden wouldn't want to screw up his chances of setting off a WMD in America at some later date by setting off a WMD in America now. Whew. Folks, these people are the enemy. The enemy within. When the Homeland Security people came out with that paper in what, March, warning that we had to be afraid, that the biggest fear we had was domestic terrorists on the right, I think it's been proven over and over and over and again, no matter how much the right poo-pooed that study, that they were right on the mark. The people we have to be most afraid of are the Dick Cheneys, are these people like Shore, are these people like Glenn Beck and Hannity and the rest. Those are the people that we need to be afraid of. Those are the people that are spreading unbridled hatred toward the rest of us, toward anybody who is other. I find it just, you know, makes me speechless sometimes. It really does. This type of hatred is just beyond the pale. And it brings up something that I want to talk about, and I have wanted to talk about. And I don't know if we have time, and I hope you'll join in the discussion, if we can start a discussion about this. It's all in the name of God. So much of it's in the name of God, in the name of religion. And I pose this question to you, without stating my views. I pose this question to you. Is religion good for humanity? And let me explain what I mean. One would say that a religion is a good thing because it instills in people, let's say basically the Ten Commandments, the Seven Steps to Happiness, whatever religion you happen to be in. But it instills the basic values in a human being that we should have. Love, honor thy father and thy mother, and, you know, don't steal and all that sort of thing. And thus make everybody better. Thus make everybody fit into society. Make everybody help one another, love one another, work toward the greater good for one another. To be one of God's creatures and act in his own image and all that. Is that not the purpose of religion? Is that not supposed to be the effect of religion, to make people better? Don't people take their children to church on Sunday so that they'll be better people? They'll learn what's right and what's wrong. I contend that they ought to learn what's right and wrong at home. But to instill in them the values that all religions have at their core, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Those basic tenets of the major religions. Isn't that the purpose? Shouldn't that be the long-term effect? Shouldn't that be what religion's all about? I think we can all agree on that, whether you're religious or not, that is the basic objective of instilling religion in people, no matter what religion it might be, Buddhist, Confucius, Muslim, Christian, whatever, Shinto. So the question I ask after stating that is that, is it a net plus over the centuries, ever since man has recognized religion, or in some cases invented religion, or sensed it, or whatever form it took, is it a net plus? I wonder. And again, I'm not giving my views here. I'm trying to start a discussion. And I hope some of you will call 866-546-5254. Is it a net plus? Does religion save lives? Or on the whole, does it take them? Stop and think over history, if you will. The Crusades, the war in Bosnia, the war in Croatia, the Holocaust, the Huguenot Wars, in wars in India, wars every place on this planet just about, in Iran, the deaths we've seen in Iraq, different sects fighting against one another. Jonestown, back in Mongolia in 1937 and 1939, in Northern Ireland, the terrible slaughters that took place there. The slaughters that took place in Russia. The St. Bartholomew Massacre. In China, we've had religious deaths, thousands, hundreds of thousands. The Sikh uprising in India. The Spanish Inquisition. The 30 Years' War. The witch hunts right here in this country. The Arab-Israeli wars. Religious wars all over this planet. And it's generally recognized that there have been, and the wars I mentioned, and some others as well that I didn't, that are too remote for many folks to even remember, and I didn't remember some of them either from history studies. But there have been in the neighborhood of 809 million people. 809 million people have died in religious wars. Almost a billion people. You know, we had Stalin slaughtering his own people by the millions. And Hitler killing people by the millions. And millions and millions and millions of people have been killed in the name of God, whatever God they happen to be fighting about at the time. So again, I ask the question, is it a net plus? Is all the good that comes from religion and teaching people to be moral and righteous and upright citizens and have the intrinsic decency within them that one needs to have to get along in this world? I know some perfectly wonderful atheists that live life as well as you can live it, and as decent as you can live it. And their children are as fine a kids as you would ever know. You would not find more upright people than this family I'm talking about. Is it a net plus? I'm asking. Yes or no? Do you have an opinion? 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. I know people will be upset with me for asking that question. I am not questioning whether or not you should have your faith. I am not questioning anybody's faith. I am questioning whether or not over the years, over the centuries, over the millennium, has it been a net plus? That all the things we've done in the name of God on this planet, has it been negated by all the horrible things that have happened? Have the good things been negated by the terrible things that have happened in the name of God? Love to know the answer to that. I would. Not spawning a lot of controversy, I see. I wish it would. I could. This is a subject I could sit and talk about for a very, very long time. 866-546-5254. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a few.
A fairy tale, you can take the future, even if you fail. I believe in angels, something good in everything I see. I believe in angels, when I know the time.
I have a dream that maybe somebody could put a stop to this fighting we do all the way around the world over religion and other things as well, political things. When it comes right down to it, I'm not so sure about the human race. I'm not so sure how inherently good we are. We seem to be able to find a lot of reasons to fight and kill one another. Seem to find a lot of reasons to disagree with one another. I don't know why. Basically, we're the same. Got 10 fingers, 10 toes, 2 eyes and ears, and a brain, and I sometimes don't understand the vast differences there are between people. When it comes to morality, I guess I just don't get it. We've been talking about hate today, and what really prompted this was some of the email that we've gotten lately, and I got a few choice ones that I thought I'd save for you. So if we can get the orchestra in the background, this is how we do this. We get the orchestra to play a little bit. Hope that's up loud enough. We get letters. We get email from folks, and I'd like to bring to you a few minutes of Republican love. Because I did get a handful of emails in the past couple of weeks, and I thought you would enjoy hearing them. So a couple of them invited me to debate points made by Fox News. And I'll tell them, and I'll tell all of you, that isn't worth a moment of my time. But the rest were pretty good, so here you go. Starts off, hey, you fag lover. If you're so fond of fags, why don't you marry one? You can, you know. Every time anything comes up about fags on the news, you seem to enjoy defending those perverts. Well, keep them away from my kids. I got to thinking, you even sound like a fag with your wimpy voice and candy-ass remarks. You could call it the Guy Fag Show. That one was unsigned. The next one is, Mr. James, you show, I think they meant your show was mentioned at our Republican Ladies Club as something that was anti-American. I didn't think it was fair to characterize something that way without listening, so I listened to you today, Wednesday, and I must tell you that you, I think she meant your, diatribe against Vice President Cheney was one of the most offensive statements I've ever heard. To say that Vice President Cheney wants another attack on America for his own benefit is one of the meanest, most cruel attacks that I can recall. Mr. Cheney has been a loyal, patriotic American for decades, and your statement about him should be reported to the proper authorities. Our club members are positively correct. You are, in fact, anti-American, for shame. Lillian from Boca Raton, Florida. Well, I guess I'm not getting an invitation to speak at the Boca Raton Republican Ladies Club anytime soon, now am I? Next letter. Guys, since you claim you don't understand why people need to own automatic weapons, I'd like to drive you out into the Everglades, give you a running head start, and show you what fun it is to own one. You'd be gator food in about 2 seconds. Signed, the Swamp King. That's touching. I like that. I like sport like that. Always like sports. Hey, guy, I'll bet that by now, spelled B-U-Y, I'll bet that by now you must be real proud of your step-and-fetch-it president and his Aunt Jemima wife. We're the laughingstock of the Anglo-Saxon world. If darkies were supposed to be great leaders, then how do you explain why no African country has ever risen to greatness? Ought to tell you something, huh? Signed, Gabriel. Well, that's it for today. A few minutes of Republican love. I have to compose myself for a moment. Some of these are very touching. If you'd like to join us. You know, we had our Chris, our correspondent from Minneapolis, St. Paul, on with us yesterday talking about Al Franken and Michelle Bachmann. And it turns out now that Michelle Bachmann may even be a little bit too crazy even for the Republicans. Three House Republicans on the subcommittee overseeing the 2010 census are asking Republican Representative Michelle Bachmann to reverse her decision to boycott the national population count, fearing that others will follow her lead. And let me quote them. Boycotting the constitutionally mandated census is illogical, illegal, and not in the best interest of our country, says Representative Patrick Henry of North Carolina, Lynn Westmoreland from Georgia, and John Micah from Florida, members of the Oversight and Government Reform Subcommittee on Information Policy, Census and National Archives, they said in a statement Wednesday. Sources say the GOP members approached Bachmann privately over the past few weeks and asked her to stop the boycott. They decided to go public because Bachmann appeared unfazed by their request, according to a GOP aide. Patrick McHenry was last seen trying to blame the Mark Foley scandal on Nancy Pelosi, and Lynn Westmoreland was last heard calling Obama uppity. In other words, these are real, certified, live wing nuts who find Bachmann too crazy for their taste. That's something when you got a group of pubbies saying that Bachmann's a little too crazy for their taste, especially that group. How many of you heard about this thing Hannity's going crazy over? About this EPA report, about the global warming. Just going crazy because the government won't recognize this fellow that came out with this EPA report. They're not listening to science. They're not listening to experts. Well, here's a little story on that.
I'm Brandon Hirsch. Our top item today, several Fox News figures have used a purportedly suppressed EPA document to advance the falsehood that, despite scientific consensus on global warming, temperatures have been dropping over the past 11 years. This finding, however, is simply not true and doesn't come from an actual EPA study, but from an EPA employee who compiled the study as a hobby. Now making the rounds on Fox News, the author of the report, Alan Carlin, got this introduction from Gretchen Carlson.
A researcher at the EPA and the author of that controversial report, so most of us are not scientists. You are.
Actually, he's not. Carlin's an economist, and the report in question wasn't solicited by the EPA, wasn't peer-reviewed, and wasn't published in any scholarly journal. Despite all of this, conservatives in the media continue to suggest these findings were somehow hushed. Here's Sean Hannity.
That they purposefully hid this information.
They buried it.
For these stories and more, visit MediaMatters.org.
Back with you here in the Guy James Show. Thank you for joining us today. Talking about hate on the show today. Have you noticed an uptick in hate coming from the right? I have. I assume that just about anybody with eyes and ears has noticed an uptick in hate. We see that the militia groups are very active right now. We see that gun sales are at an all-time high. Guns and ammunition, because after all, everybody's afraid they're going to come and take their guns away. Yes, going to come take their guns away. Somebody asked me yesterday, why do you think, we were talking about this Mark Sanford thing, to go back to that for a moment, why do you think that Mark Sanford is talking as much as he is about his hiking adventures? The average person wouldn't do that. Not publicly. They might try and reconcile all of it with their family and their wife and their children and their loved ones and friends. That could be expected. But it would not be expected of too many people to go before microphones and say a lot of the things that Governor Mark Sanford has said in the past few days. And I think the reason he's doing it is to let us know, and he's appealing to those folks that I talked about a little earlier, the evangelicals, he's appealing to them that they will see him in the light of being a good Christian because he is pretty much just laying it all on the altar, asking for forgiveness. That this somehow makes it better. The reason he's telling everybody these details, these minute details, because he looks upon this as that being the obligation as a good Christian. And if he's really honest about all of it, no matter how much he hurts his wife and his family and his friends and his constituency, no matter what he's done, he feels that if he's honest about it, that God will forgive him. So by doing it in the manner that he's been doing it, in public, and bringing up the Christianity into it constantly, he is showing you and me that he's better. He's somehow better than the other people who've been guilty of adultery. That quite unlike the other people who have done the same thing as he, that he's going to be honest about it. He's going to be open about it. And he'll try and work it out with his wife. And if he does not work it out with her, at least he'll be able to look everybody in the eye, he thinks, and say that he was honest about it. I don't see a lot of difference, and I'll get criticized once again for saying this, just like, well, not as much as David Letterman, because we don't have the audience David Letterman does, but I think it's akin to the situation of Sarah Palin and her daughter, I can't think of her name, going around talking about abstinence. It's not a lot different to what Sanford is doing here. That if they go around and talk about it good enough, and they talk about God, and they talk about their religious beliefs and all, that somehow what happened in that situation isn't as bad as somebody else who didn't go to church. And the same thing happened to them. It wouldn't be as bad. Because God will forgive them. And we look at the whole story, not just the Sanford story, but, you know, you look at Lindsey Graham, the wimpy Lindsey Graham senator who took Strom Thurmond's place in South Carolina. He was one of those people that barked the loudest, one of those dogs that barked the loudest when they were impeaching Bill Clinton. And he argued long and loud about that. But now, since it's one of his friends, one of his political allies that's in trouble over the same thing, he's making excuses for him. And the one thing you have to remember in all of this, politically and religiously, that with all of the stuff that's been coming out in the open about Sanford and John Ensign and Larry Craig and all that, these people still think, they still think that they're better than the people that they've condemned for being immoral. People who get abortions, liberals, gay people. They still have this sanctimonious feeling that they're somehow better than others because they get up and talk about how they're godly. I wonder about the children. You know, they all said all through the Clinton affair, what about the children? Well, I bet the children of Mark Sanford aren't feeling so good about this right now. And maybe they won't be so fooled by this sanctimonious crap. I don't know. It is the hypocrisy of it all. Let's see if we have a call here. I think we do. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, this is Juanita.
Hi, Juanita.
Can I give you my take on
You sure can.
Honorable Governor?
Absolutely free. Go for it.
Well, since the start and the way he keeps going on, I think the man is in ecstasy. I think he's loving talking about it. And he's calls her his soulmate. So if she's still his soulmate, he's not trying to make it right with his wife.
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking.
I thought about, you know, right before you played that Republican Love, I was thinking about calling you and just asking you to play what he says and have some of your Republican Love music on in the background, because this guy is something else.
I believe he is, and I believe he's got a lot of
people.
And
I think it's like you're saying, he's trying to make it okay with God, you know, in his mind also. But honestly, I think he's really getting pleasure because he goes on and on and on about it. And isn't he the one that brought up that he had other women that he hadn't gone as far with as that, but he was still over the line?
Hadn't crossed the sex line, he said. And
this is something else. I don't know when this guy's going to stop talking. Because I think he is loving it. It's like a... what you call an exhibitionist, or...
Yeah. Well, that's a different take. Yeah, that's a different take. I haven't heard anybody say that.
Well, you watch him, and he'll take questions. You know, he doesn't just make a statement. He goes on and on about this little, what did he call it, his sparkle?
Yeah, the sparkle. Oh, my. You know, that's interesting, Juanita. That's interesting that you said that. So
You watch him how he does, and with that in mind, and see if you don't come off.
Well, I'm going to. Now,
like,
does he drool when he does it? I wonder.
Close to it. You watch his eye. I mean, he's got this little ecstatic smile on his face.
Oh. Well, I'll check that out.
He's like he's just floating, you know, and telling the people what he's he's so in love, and so this is his soulmate, and, you know.
Well, I'm gonna go back and look at some of that video now and see if I can notice this.
Yeah, the first day, you know, when he got caught, it was like, well, okay, you know, and when they would interrupt me, he'd say, let me finish. Mm-hmm. And then he asks for questions, and he goes on and on about it. And I think it's hilarious, this guy is something else.
Well, I do too. I hate to gloat over somebody's misery, but I don't think he's that.
I hope I'm not gloating, but you know, it is funny.
It is what it is,
and
Anita.
I wish Saturday Night Live was on now. They would have a field day with this guy.
Oh my. Oh my. Yes, I believe they would.
I think it's the best one yet. I mean,
yeah.
The Republicans. I mean, I think he's got them beat.
Yeah, there's more flair to this one with the international, you know.
And like you said, what about his children? He's got four little boys.
Oh, my. Yeah.
Oh, Lord, you know what they might be going through at their school?
Yeah.
Oh, good gracious.
Yeah, there are going to be a lot of people, you know, kids that age can be pretty cruel to one another. And
they'll
hear it, that's for sure.
Yeah. But, yeah, if you have some of the doggonest hate letters.
Well... Yeah, I'm glad at least they're paying attention, you know.
Well, you know, the one guy that wanted to take you out
to the Everglades.
To the swamp?
Yeah, the swamps.
Well, ask him if he wants to take turns. Let him go. I'll see how he does.
Well, I don't have a weapon, you see. That's the thing. I've got a BB
gun. But I bet you can think of something to use.
Yeah,
you know.
I got my BB gun. I do have a BB gun.
That'll do it.
Yeah. Hey, Anita, thanks for calling. Good to hear from you.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye now. So, that's an interesting take. I hadn't thought about that, and I am going to have to go back and look at some of this video. This guy, Anita, thinks the guy's enjoying telling us this, that he's some sort of an exhibitionist of some kind. So, really, what he's doing is he's standing there, and what she's contending that he's doing is he's standing there pretty much and doing it this way. She's my soulmate, man, and every time I get around her, oh, man, and we were out one night dancing, and we had too much liquor, and we went out behind, it was so good. So that's what he's... he's one to let us know that he's really Mr. Hot Stuff. Well, that's cool. I wonder about that. I think she might have a point there. I was going to talk about this Bernie Madoff story today. You know, Bernie's he's heading for the old Heartbreak Hotel. And he'll spend the rest of his life there. But they're talking about some other people being indicted now, and I think we'll probably get into that next week. Some other people going to be indicted. And there's a guy by the name of Jeffrey Pickower that seems like he got about $5 billion off of Madoff. He withdrew $5 billion. Profit off of Madoff, more money than Madoff made out. So they're going to be taking a look at that. Interesting, and they will indict some more people. It was interesting. I saw a poll the other day. Do you think Madoff got enough punishment? Well, other than the death penalty, how much more can you give the guy? Somebody asked. Fur coat Lillo 36 asked what kind of a fur coat costs $48,000. I'll tell you what kind does, an ermine coat, or even some of the chinchilla coats if they're the right pelts. Isn't that gruesome what we do as people? I've never owned a fur coat of any kind, but I guess it's gruesome what we do. We humans, we're nasty pieces of work, I guess. I hope some of you will send me some email on what I said about today, asking the question, is religion a net positive? I'd really love to hear your thoughts on that. A little disappointed we didn't get some calls on that, a little too late now, but... it's one of those subjects that you can sit and discuss... for a long time and probably not come up with an accurate conclusion. but it's something that's interesting to discuss. And I enjoy conversations with that, like on subjects like that. I do want to thank everybody for being with us this week. I enjoyed the program. I will do my best to try and get somebody from the Phelps organization on the program next week. I think we'd all enjoy that, much as we did calling Senator Enzen's office a couple of weeks ago. You know, he's got to be the luckiest son of a gun on earth, does he not? Absolutely the luckiest guy that ever came down the pike. I mean, he was forced, absolutely forced into giving his confession. And that was kind of simmering along a little bit there, and people asking, is he going to resign this and that? And then, bam, up comes something else, the Iran's situation, and then the Michael Jackson situation. And this Michael Jackson thing is going to go on for a long time. Who's going to get the kids? Who's going to get the money? They're going to fight over and pick his bones clean. You know, that's something when somebody like that dies. There'll be lots of money involved, and I told my wife the moments after hearing that he had died, I bet somebody in L.A. was printing up T-shirts already, and they were. Some guy said he sold 600 T-shirts that afternoon and the rest of the evening. Had him printed up something or other about gone but not forgotten Michael Jackson. So people are going to congregate around and pick the bones of anybody like that. Carl Malden died yesterday, 97 years old. Not a good time to be a celebrity, I guess. Hey, I do want to thank you for listening today. I do want you to remember, if you will, please, that this is a listener-supported program and a listener-supported network, the Head On Radio Network. And Ben Birch at White Rose Society is having a fundraiser as well. Hey, folks, it cost a few bucks to keep the lights on, and I hope you'll all remember that. I do. So thanks for listening to the program today. Don't forget, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Later.